What's good, podcast family? Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. In this episode, we are going to talk about dairy, the difference between pasteurized dairy, homogenized dairy, and raw dairy. My intention behind this video is just to give us some good education and knowledge behind these different types of dairy products. That way, we are making a much more informed, intelligent decision as to which products we are buying when we are buying them. Personally, I believe a lot of us lack the knowledge behind what pasteurized dairy is and the effects that it has on our human body. And so that is another intention of mine within this episode, is to clarify the differences in these dairy products to inform us why we should be aiming towards buying whole raw dairy products. And yeah, just to make us smarter behind these food choices that we make on the daily basis, you feel me? So with that said, I have a book right in front of me in which I am going to read a chapter that talks all about dairy. This book is called How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy by Paul Check. I'm sure some of you guys have heard me mention Paul Check in the past in my YouTube videos or in previous podcast episodes that I've uploaded in the past, and or even on Instagram. I may post them from time to time. But if you have not heard of me talk about Paul Check, or if you have not heard of him, again, he is a holistic health practitioner with over 40 years of clinical experience in the field. So this book that he wrote a couple years back, not couple years, like probably a decade ago in like early 2000s, this book is as valuable today, if not more valuable in today's modern world, as it is when it was created back in the early 2000s. And I say that because this book really covers everything we need to know of how to eat, move, and be healthy in this world on Earth, you feel me? And the title speaks for itself, the title of this book, and it really does teach us how to eat, move, and be healthy. Paul Check knows his stuff. It breaks down everything from knowing the difference between organic and non-organic foods, which is my next topic for the next podcast episode next week that I will be uploading. He also talks about, a bunch of things on food, on movement, on rest, recovery, stress, stretching, mobilizing, a concept that he pioneered himself called working in, which is the opposite of working out. It's practices that cultivate more energy in the body and support repair and rebuilding and things of that nature. And so, yeah, I'm going on a tangent. How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. I'm going to read from chapter 4 of this book, the dairy section. Going to read this to us because Paul Check really puts it in good words. He summarizes a lot of research that he has done into 2 or 3 pages. And so I'm going to read these pages to us. It has all the knowledge we have to know about the differences between pasteurization, homogenization, and it doesn't talk about raw milk, but I will briefly discuss it, and on my next episode, I will talk about organic foods, which will tie into raw milk, because raw milk is essentially an organic food. It is a food that has not been tampered with, processed, or added anything to it, such as growth hormones, preservatives, or any other sugars, or whatever they add to milks, as we will discuss briefly in a second. So yeah, with that said, I'm going to start reading to us what Paul Check has wrote in this book. And it starts with pasteurization. Milk was first pasteurized in Chicago, the first American city to pass a law that stated milk must be pasteurized. The year was 1908, and reasons for the law revolved around fears of tuberculosis, some other disease called botulism, I'm not sure how to pronounce it right, and a myriad of other diseases spreading through the milk supply. While this may have been a legitimate concern during this time, there were and still are many health professionals against pasteurization. Me skip this part. While the dairy industry maintains the prevention of disease as the motive for pasteurizing milk, it's highly unlikely. We now know the naturally occurring lactic acid producing bacteria in raw milk protects it from pathogens until it's killed by pasteurization, that is. In fact, all outbreaks of salmonella and contaminated milk in recent decades occurred in pasteurized milk. The pasteurization process involves heating milk for 30 seconds at 60 degrees Celsius, and then for 15 seconds at 72 degrees Celsius, and for 1 second at 89 degrees Celsius. The idea of this process is to kill potentially harmful bacteria, but the problem with this pasteurization process is that the heat kills important enzymes as well as damaging or destroying vitamins and amino acids. In fact, milk is declared pasteurized when the chemist finds no enzymes present in the milk. So, to sidetrack a bit from what we just read, basically, the pasteurization process is heating milk so much that it's not just killing potential harmful bacteria in the milk, but it's also killing and ruining all the good stuff in the milk, all the vitamins and minerals, the enzymes, the things that we can benefit from raw milk. You feel me? So, going back onto the reading, many people are wary of consuming raw dairy products, yet raw milk actually contains lactic acid producing bacteria that protect us against pathogens. Unlike pasteurized milk, which will pure putrefy when bad, raw milk turns into buttermilk and sour cream. There are many beneficial qualities to the fats in raw dairy. People with sensitivity to dairy can often tolerate raw milk and milk products because the enzymes that aid in the digestion of the milk are left intact, as the vitamins and other trace elements that serve excuse me, woo, little burp for you guys in your ears. Oh man. Let me reread that sentence. People with sensitivity to dairy can often tolerate raw milk and milk products because the enzymes that aid in the digestion of the raw milk are left intact, as the vitamins and other trace elements that serve as enzyme cofactors. So, in other words, basically, when we are consuming raw milk, it is easier for our body's colon, for our bowel to digest this food much more with ease, much more effectively, because we have all these vitamins and minerals and enzymes intact that feed off of each other and work as cofactors in synergy and provide nutrition to the body. So that's it for pasteurization. Moving on to homogenization. Homogenization is a process whereby milk is passed through a fine filter at pressures equal to 4,000 pounds per square inch, making the fat globules smaller by a factor of 10 times or more. These fat molecules become evenly dispersed within the liquid milk so that after 48 hours of storage at 45 degrees Fahrenheit, there is no visible cream separation in the milk. According to some experts, this ensures that the protein hormones in milk survive the normal process of protein digestion slash breakdown in the stomach, but homogenization causes fat molecules to become smaller and allows substances to bypass digestion. So proteins that normally would be digested and broken down in the stomach are not broken down, increasing the chances of incomplete protein digestion in the small intestine. This allows some milk proteins to be absorbed into the bloodstream intact. This could very well sensitize the immune system and lead to milk allergy and intolerance. So basically, homogenization is putting 4,000 pounds of pressure onto the milk. I don't know how they do that, but that's the process. That's what's being explained here. And the pressure, after it's pressurized, it's then stored for about 2 days, 48 hours, and 45 degrees Fahrenheit. And apparently, this process does something to the proteins in the milk that don't allow the body to digest it fully, and then leads to milk allergies and intolerances, such as not being able to break down and digest lactose from milk. So that's homogenization. To sum up pasteurization and homogenization, again, pasteurization is where milk is heated up so much so that it destroys not only all the potential harmful bacteria, but all the good stuff that we want out of milk. So we're basically drinking dead milk, sugar water. But most of us aren't aware of that until now, if we really listened up until this point. And then to summarize, homogenization is just putting 4,000 pounds of pressure onto the milk. Pretty much sounds like it's destroying a lot of the nutrition with all that pressure. And then from there, it's stored for up to 2 days in 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Then it just causes problems with the proteins in the milk, homogenization, that is, and causes gut issues for us when we consume that. And so, reading on, growth hormones. Another problem with commercially produced milk is that dairy farmers commonly inject cows with a growth hormone to make them produce more milk than is normal. And let me skip through this. Many farmers refuse to inject their cows with this new hormone because it increases risk of infection by almost 80%, which then means the cows have to be given antibiotics to treat infections. While there have been a number of attempts by farmers and retailers to let the consumer know their milk was free of RBGH hormone, the FDA warned grocery stores not to do so. Monsanto, the producer of RBGH stands for Robovian growth hormone, Robovian, I don't know how to pronounce that right. Anyways, of course, all organic dairy products will be free of this growth hormone. Some companies, including Trader Joe's, still label their milk as RBGH free. You want to look for dairy products that are RBGH free. If you can't get organic dairy, make sure to find a brand that provides products that are RBGH free. And why is that? That is because the only human study involving RBGH was done over 50 years ago, in which drawers, or how do you spell that? D or pronounce that? Dwarves, dwarves were given the hormone to see if they could grow. They did not. Blah blah blah. Why should we not consume RBGH? Basically, it's been found in studies, it says right here, in rats that issues happen to the body when we consume, negative health issues happen to the body when we consume dairy products that have RBGH in them. It says here the spleen is part of the lymphatic and immune systems, which manufactures red and white blood cells, and that was seemed to be damaged in rats that were fed dairy products with RBGH. Another issue with the use of RBGH, again, which stands for Robivian growth hormone, it's basically a hormone injected into cows to help them produce more milk. However, issues have been found with this hormone. Another issue is that it increases levels of insulin-like growth factor, which is IGF-1 for short, in cow's milk. IGF-1 is a powerful growth hormone in the human body. and is identical in both cows and humans. One of the major concerns with milk containing increased concentrations of IGF-1 secondary to RBGH use is that the growth hormone makes existing cancers grow. Pasteurization has little effect on IGF-1 levels. Humans receive the IGF-1 molecule from a cow through consuming its milk, and the human body will treat it as its own. So, drinking one glass of untreated milk with nearly double levels of IGF-1 in the body, one glass of treated milk will increase IGF-1 levels even more, as much as ninefold, according to Robert Cohen, author of Milk, the Deadly Poison. So, it goes on to say that, so basically, to summarize what I said right here, is that commercially raised and produced milk, pasteurized or homogenized, have those cows were injected with a growth hormone RBGH, and that RBGH produces more IGF-1 in cow's milk, and when we consume that cow's milk, it elevates IGF-1 in our body. And then it says here that increased IGF-1 concentrations have been associated with breast cancer, human colorectal tumors, and colon cancer growth. IGF-1 is an autocrine and endocrine growth regulator that accelerates various types of cancer. IGF-1 activity is significantly higher in cancer extracts, suggesting that higher IGF-1 activity in cancer tissues is involved in regulating growth of thyroid cancer cells. Ooh, that's kind of scary. So basically, consuming commercially dairy products, homogenized or pasteurized, raises IGF-1 levels in our body, promoting and encouraging cancer, the growth of cancer cells in our body. So it's definitely one thing to be aware of and to possibly encourage us to avoid buying these dairy products and to aim more towards buying whole raw dairy products, be it raw butter, raw milk, raw cream, raw cheese, you name it. If it's dairy, raw yogurt, let it be raw. And if it can't be raw, make sure it's certified organic, because that means there is no pesticide residue, there's no chemical buildup that you don't want in your body. And we'll discuss more in depth about organic farming and organic foods, the difference between organic and non-organic foods, and why I believe we should be investing our money towards organic foods, not only for our health and longevity, but for the environments and for the planet itself, because organic farming produces healthy environments, and we need that in our modern day. And so, yeah, what else does it say right here? It concludes with some the concept of yogurt, and Palchuk says that yogurt has been consumed for thousands of years. When cultured with beneficial microorganisms such as lactic acid secreting Acetophilus and Bifidus, it is very beneficial to the colon. Friendly bacteria available in high quality yogurt assist in the maintenance of an optimal It assists in the maintenance of an optimal friendly bacteria count, which is necessary for the production of several vitamins. Friendly gut flora manufacture vitamins such as biotin, thiamin, which is vitamin B1, vitamin B2, which is riboflavin, niacin B3, betaic acid B5, pyridoxine, which is vitamin B6, folic acid, and vitamins A and K. The Acetophilus and Bifidus bacteria in quality yogurts increase all of these vitamins, as well as the bioavailability of calcium, copper, iron, magnesium, and manganese. Since the friendly microbes change the environment of the colon by making it more acidic, they naturally reduce chances of infestation or food poisoning by unfriendly bacteria which prefer an alkaline environment. Those who cannot digest dairy products can often consume yogurt with no side effects. Yogurt is easier to digest because the yeast culture actually eats the lactose in the source milk. But before you get excited and hijack a yogurt truck, there are several things you need to know about your run-of-the-mill store-bought yogurt. He goes on to say that yogurt is only as good as the source material it's made from. Many yogurts are made from commercial cow's milk, which commonly contains antibiotics and Robivian growth hormone. You want to choose yogurts made from organic and raw milk when possible. What else does he say? If you have problems with yogurts from cow's milk, try sheep or goat's milk. So, yeah, that's basically all Paulcheck has to say on dairy products. He has a little section that says checkpoints on dairy, little summarization points. And basically, the first point says, whenever possible, buy raw, certified organic dairy products. There are companies that sell milk from organic grass-fed cows, which is important because the type of feed the cows eat influences the quality and quantity of protein and fats in the milk. His second point states, if you can't get raw dairy products, the next best thing is certified organic. This way, although the milk may be pasteurized or homogenized, it won't contain antibiotics, hormones, or pesticide residues. So this is big because many of us can't find raw dairy products. The next best thing he's saying is to go for certified organic. And why? We'll talk about, again, like I've mentioned in my next episode, all about organic products, certified organic. And you'll know why that's the next best choice. And so he has three other checkpoints. Let me see if any of them are worthy of reading. If you can't get high quality organic dairy, stay away from the stuff. Dairy products are not necessary for a healthy diet. You can get plenty of calcium from other sources such as leafy green vegetables. And I'll leave you guys with that from Paulcheck's book. Again, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy by Paulcheck. You can find it on Amazon or on the Czech Institute website. It's a self-published book, so you'll never find it in one of those legit bookstores like Barnes & Noble. But it's definitely a book I recommend and will eventually at some point buy for all my siblings, my family members, because it is a very valuable book to have. You feel me? So, yeah. That's pretty much summarizing this, or going to be it for this short podcast episode, you guys. Pretty much 20 minutes short. I hope you guys enjoyed it, gained some value from it, and are much more informed with intelligence behind making, or how do I word that right? Hopefully you leave this episode informed with value that will help you make a much more intelligent decision as to which dairy products to buy. Now, where can you find raw milk? You can find raw dairy products from local organic farmers markets. You know, they come like they pop up probably once or twice a week. You'd have to do your homework in your own local city or wherever you live at, stay at. Google search farmers markets when they appear, go to them, buy raw dairy products. Other than that, there's only one mainstream store branch that actually sells raw dairy products at the moment in California. We're lucky Californians. Those of us living in California, we're lucky, especially out here in LA. We have access to raw dairy products, but only in Sprouts Farmers Market. So, yeah, we're lucky we have access to it. It helps us live a much more healthy, vital, strong, long life. with good quality, free of disease. And we all want that, you feel me? Our health is one of the, if not the greatest investments we can make in this lifetime. So invest in your health because it'll only keep you good, healthy, productive, and vital to continue living the life you want to live. You feel me? So yeah, go to Sprouts Farmers Markets. They sell them out here in LA, in the Valley, wherever you live in LA, this county. And yeah, raw milk, Raw Farm Milk USA, that's the brand. Shout out to them. Shout out to you guys for listening this long. And yeah, that is going to conclude this podcast episode. Like I said, I hope you guys gained some value. Make sure to leave a 5-star rating on Spotify or iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever you're listening on. Support your boy, support the algorithm. Let's help this thing grow and have a good fucking day. Catch you guys on next week's episode discussing organic foods. Peace.